This is the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. Here are your hosts, Justin Jarrett and Wes Kerr.
Hey, Loco Sports fans. Welcome to another edition of the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Jarrett, joined as always by Wes Kerr. And Wes, we've got a lot to get to as usual this time of year. It's playoff time for spring sports. Some of the sports already in the books with lacrosse and soccer, but we've got baseball and softball firing up. We've got high school golf state championships on Hilton Head Island this week. We've got track and field state qualifiers ready to go for Friday and Saturday. We got a little bit of football news because spring football's firing up and we got some recruiting news out there. And then we'll catch up with Abby Peduzzi a little bit later. She just won another state championship at Hilton Head Christian Academy, already a three-time basketball champ. Now she's got a ring for soccer as well. And we were able to sit down with her for the Loco sit down, and we'll play a little excerpt of that interview for you here on the show and then name our teams and players of the week. But first things first, Wes, how are you holding up this week, buddy?
I am doing fantastic. What a week it has been here in the Lowcountry. Spring postseason is in full force, and we've got baseball, softball, golf, track and field all eating up. We've got entrance to the NAIA tournament, the state track and field, and the golf tournament, and, you know, the latter, the golf, which is being held right here on Hilton Head Island. And you couldn't have asked for any better weather. Just absolutely beautiful over the past week or so here. Got to play some golf myself this past week, so just a perfect day for that. I just love this time of year over here on the island, and it's been great to see, you know, this renewed sense of normalcy here in 2021. You know, I just got my second COVID shot. I'll be fully vaxxed in a few days, so as we heard from the CDC that we're moving in a fantastic direction here, we can start to limit the use of mask wearing, which is good news. So we're well on our way back to a fully normal lifestyle, and it's been an awesome last few weeks. And, you know, as a sports fan and particularly a baseball fan, I retweeted your tweet that said that there's nothing like baseball, man, especially the playoff variety. As you said, it's been fantastic to have that postseason ball all the way back from youth to high school to college, and then the full Major League Baseball season going on right now. So there's just nothing like a great game of baseball. It's been great to have a full spring back here in 2021.
Yeah, I think it kind of caught us by surprise how much we missed that, because there was so much going on in the world last spring when everything shut down that, you know, you weren't really thinking about the little things like that. You were thinking big picture and just trying to do your part to keep everyone safe and get this thing under control. And of course, it just spiraled. And a year later, feels like we're finally getting back to normal and starting to remember all the things that we missed during that year. And certainly, you know, for me, like you said, the baseball playoffs, the high school baseball playoffs, man, I didn't realize how fired up I would be on Saturday when they started playing. And, you know, we were keeping tabs. My friend Ian Guerin, who folks may know from his sports coverage up in Myrtle Beach, was down this weekend. We were working on our new project, which we'll have some more news coming out about real soon. And we were both posted up at the bar in my house, you know, where the kids eat their meals, and had our laptops up, and we were both following games. And, you know, he had the James Island North Myrtle Beach game going, and I was keeping tabs on May River and Beaufort, and it was really fun. It was really exciting. We were getting texts from other guys around the state with updates from their games. So that was really cool and kind of brought home, you know, how much we missed this time last year when we were all locked down and trying to figure out what was going to come next. So it feels great to be back out there. Feels good to know that if you're vaccinated, the scientists and doctors say it's safe to go out there without masks. I'm still keeping mine on indoors for the most part, just to be on the safe side, you know, and think I'm probably fine. I'm fully vaccinated, but I also want to send the signal to others that, you know, it's okay to keep that thing on if you feel more comfortable that way. Certainly with cold and flu seasons, you know, I think we're still going to see a lot of people wearing masks as we go forward, but going to be a personal preference, and hopefully more people will continue to get vaccinated. And as they see that the scientists and doctors are saying that makes it safe to go out there without a mask, maybe that's enough motivation to get them to do it. So hopefully that will continue, and we'll be fully back to normal next season, have a full football season, everybody playing full schedules and all that stuff. So it is great, though, to be here in playoff time. And as I mentioned, the baseball playoffs and softball playoffs fired up on Saturday. Let's talk a little baseball first, Wes. We were kind of hyping it up, or I was on Twitter, that I really thought Region 7 4A was really strong. When your number three team is somebody like May River, who goes into the playoffs on a 10-game winning streak, you feel like that region has a chance to show out pretty well, and that is exactly what they did. The region went 3-0 on Saturday. May River and Beaufort both going on the road and pulling off upsets against teams that had really eye-popping records, like 22-3, 23-2, something like that. So two huge wins for those teams, and now they play each other. We're recording on Monday morning. They're going to play Monday night over at Beaufort High. I'm going to get over there for that game. really excited to see those teams square off once again, because they split two really exciting games early in the season. So it's going to be great to see them play again with a lot on the line.
Yeah, what a day of playoff baseball on Saturday. Just so awesome. And what a pair of performances by the May River Sharks and the Buford Eagles against Stephen Ault. Loco playoff matchup on Monday. So that's going to be fantastic. How about West Braves, the Buford Eagles, willing that team to victory? And, you know, it wasn't easy in the first two innings. He gave up in a run, loaded up the bases in both the first two innings, but escaped the jam. So just what a clutch effort by Braves to keep this really strong North Augusta team off the board. And how awesome was it to see Colin Peterson pick up the big RBI single, which ended up being the game-winning run, and Braves maintained the lead with a runner 90 feet away in the sixth. 104 pitches, what an effort by Braves. And then Chase McKelvey closing it out in the seventh. Really impressed by the way this team battled through that adversity all game long, you know. It wasn't looking particularly great early. I thought when they went down 1-0 with bases loaded, I thought they were going to be in some trouble. But, you know, Braves never gave any. And that mentality spread to the whole team. And, you know, they got the big-time playoff opening win. And they'll be joined by the red-hot May River Sharks, who just won their 11th straight game. They knocked off number 3 team in the States. What a baseball game. Maybe one of the best we've seen. Pitcher's duel between Darren Horn and Mason Lynch. And they both go 7. They gave up just a run each to send it to extras. Looks like the Sharks had it in the 8th. Walker Taylor had a monstrous 2-out double. Tremendous piece of hitting. But the Bruins answer with a Mikey Morris sack fly. And they end up tying the game. And they're looking the push for the win, but what a job by Bennett Roemer after Horn was chased, keeping his team alive, and the May River Sharks get out of danger there and escape into the 9th inning. No score by either team in that frame, but the Sharks get back to it in the 10th. They go up 3-2. They score on an error, and then how about Danny Farrell over in the outfield saving the game, throwing a dart from left field to gun down the tying run at the plate to seal the game. Just a fantastic tag by Caleb Allender, and what a throw over there from the outfield. Just an amazing way to win that ball game. What a game. And as May River coaches said afterwards, maybe the best high school baseball game that we've seen. Just fantastic effort from both teams back and forth. We saw it all. We saw fantastic pitching. We saw clutch hitting. What a fantastic, fantastic baseball playoff game between these two teams, and everyone laid out in the line. What a fantastic win by the May River Sharks. You know, they knew how to get it done, and everybody stepped up, and that's what we call a complete team win right there from the May River Sharks. And we get a local on local matchup. We get Buford and May River Monday night, and we'll see what happens. Ollie Holmes available for the Eagles. It's going to be a heck of a battle to get that coveted spot in the district championship.
Yeah, I think we may see it'll be Holmes against either Riley Stokes or Bennett Roemer, which either one is going to be a really good matchup. I thought it was huge for Buford to get through that first round without using Holmes. You know, in a tight game, they were able to get through it with Graves and McKelvey, which was massive. I mean, they were able to set up and get arguably their ace. I mean, you could argue whether Graves or Holmes is their number one guy. I think they're 1A, 1B. But arguably their best pitcher, or at least, you know, a guy who's going to be competitive, be a bulldog, and go out there and give you everything he's got. I think they're in good shape there, but they're going to have to face a pretty good pitcher against May River too. So it's going to be a fun game, and whoever wins it really is set up well, because then you get an extra 2 days off. The other team's going to have to play an elimination game on Wednesday. And you're going to be sitting there waiting on Friday with a stronger pitcher lined up, only needing one win out of two. So it's a good situation for whoever wins that game to try to get into that lower state series. It's going to be a lot of fun there. And baseball, I mean, you said it's the ultimate team effort. It's the ultimate team game. Other than just striking guys out, you can't do anything by yourself. You've got to have help. And that game-ending play is a great example. Danny Farrell chases it down, makes a great relay throw to James Lehman, who guns him down at the plate. And it was a bang-bang play at the plate. Caleb Allender blocked it up and put the tag on and saved the game, because otherwise we're going another inning or the Bruins are walking it off. So fantastic game. I wish I could have been there for that one, but I'm looking forward to seeing tonight when the Sharks and Eagles go at it. And we got a little baseball about to start here in about an hour too, buddy. We got some baseball for brunch. USCB sneaks into the NAIA opening round. So, you know, we weren't sure that they were really looking like a contender for that until they made a run to the championship game of the Sun Conference tournament, picked up another win over number 2 Southeastern, who they will get another shot at if they win their first game in the opening round. They'll be playing the Fire again in the second round of that tournament. So, you know, this is great news for Ted Faulkner and USCB. I'll be honest, I didn't really think that they had probably done quite enough, but the selection committee liked that hot streak at the end of the season, and they gave them the nod over Weber International. And the other thing that came out of it is the selection committee thought very highly of the Sun Conference, because you look at where everybody's seated, USCB even a 4 seed, and they finished 6th in the conference in the regular season. You know, Warner is a 3 seed. They were 4th in the conference. So they really liked the Sun Conference this year. So I guess that makes it even more impressive what USCB did down the stretch, getting into the tournament and then making a run. So the Sand Sharks are back in the national tournament, and we'll see if they can keep this magic going for a few more days.
Outstanding for the USCB Sand Sharks. What an accomplishment, what a moment for this program. First AIA tournament appearance since 2016, and just so well-deserved for the squad. Worked so hard all year long, and for Ted Faulkner, just doing some amazing things in his first season. What a hire for USCB baseball, and 30 wins in his first season, and he's not done yet. So, I think this mentality and this momentum that they developed, I think that should continue. And, they know they want to prove that they played better than those last two Southeastern games to finish off the tournament. But what a run in that Sun Conference championship, get all the way to the final game, which propelled them to gain this at-large bid. And speaking of the Fire, as you said, they're the one seed in this regional, so USCB is a four. They opened the Fisher out of Massachusetts. That's a game I really think they can win. And if you take that one today, you get another shot at Southeastern. So that first game is really the key, because if you lose that one, then you're in some deep trouble. Road back is very steep if you lose the first one. So I think these guys are up to the challenge. It all starts Monday. And, they have nothing to lose. They're playing with house money. They've proven that they can hang with anyone. They've beaten Southeastern twice. I can't wait to see what they do here. I think they got a ton of arms they can go with to start. Got, of course, Malatesta and Bromley. Maybe you save those two for the next game and go with a guy like Freekhauser, Donovan Hunick, or Peyton McPherson. So lots of options for the Sand Sharks and for Ted Faulkner. So looking forward to seeing this NAIA tournament run for USCB baseball. Awesome to have the Sand Sharks back in the dance. And speaking of which, Riley Stoke, kind of tying the two pieces of news together, Riley Stoke is going to USCB baseball next season. And that's awesome to see for Ted Faulkner and this group. And we have some strong talent right in our backyard. And I think bringing in our Loco Stars, that just does so many great things. It gives them an opportunity to play for a competitive NAIA and a future D2 program. And I think it also attracts more local fans to the ballpark. And, I think one of the ways to really increase fan engagement is to bring in that local town. And Stokes says all the tools become an effective arm in that pitching staff. So what a great pickup for USCB baseball.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. I think in a perfect world, they have representation from just about every solid program around the area. And that starts putting, as they say, butts in seats. And that's how you start to build affinity in the local community. That's how you start raising money to build an on-campus ballpark, which is part of their plans as they transition to Division II and the Peach Belt here in a few years. That transition already underway. They've been accepted into the conference. And now they have one more year, their transition year, where they continue to compete in the NAIA and the Sun Conference. And then they'll begin that three-year process of transitioning into D2. And I really think that after this next year, they'll be competing fully in the Peach Belt. Won't be postseason eligible until the end of that three-year transition. But, I think it's a great move for them across the board, but certainly in baseball from a recruiting standpoint. I mean, from a competitive standpoint, it doesn't get a lot better than the Sun Conference. And in fact, top to bottom, it may be stronger than the Peach Belt overall. But, from a recruiting standpoint, just the recognizability of NCAA Division II is going to be a huge boon for them, especially locally, I think, because NAIA just doesn't have the profile in this part of the country that it does in other areas, in the Midwest or even down in Florida. So we'll see what that long-term benefit is, but I think it's going to be huge for that program and really for the school. I think it will make it a more attractive option for all students, not just for athletes. So great to see them recruiting locally. It's something that program has not done that much of for various reasons. And I could get a little inside baseball with my knowledge, but I don't think anybody needs to know all the depth of it. But there are a number of reasons why they have recruited out of area a little bit more, having to do with how their scholarship funding works and things like that. But it's great to see that they're keeping a close eye on the local players. I would think that if they weren't busy tonight, if they hadn't made it into the tournament, they'd probably be over at Buford tonight, checking out both of those teams and seeing if there are any other undiscovered gems right here in the Lowcountry soil. So it's great to see that all coming together. I mean, we talked about how much we love baseball. So love seeing the success at both the high school and the college levels here in the Loco. And, from my standpoint, I see the youth leagues and the travel teams and the talent that we have coming up through the ranks at those levels. And I get really excited about the future of baseball here in the Lowcountry. So that's good stuff. And softball is also looking very strong here in the Lowcountry, especially up in Colleton County, man. Colleton Prep wins the Skeeza 2A state title impressively. They lost the first game of the three-game set, came back and won the next two, including a run rule in the deciding third game. And so they're the state champs. And then Colleton County, their friends across the road, they have dominated the competition all year. They're still undefeated. They won their opening playoff game. So they are sitting good, sitting pretty in that winner's bracket game, one win away from getting to the district championship game. Unfortunately for May River, their region mates, they did not get through that first round game, lost to a powerful North Augusta team. So they're facing elimination tonight. But man, what are they doing in Colleton County to raise up all this softball talent?
This is unbelievable. What a season for the Warhawks, winning a state championship in Skeezatooa softball. This team, they battled back, you know, they persevered, and they brought home a title to Colleton County. Outstanding job by this group. And, you know, they knew they didn't play their best in game one. They committed 10 errors in the opening game of that championship series against PD Academy. Certainly not what they were hoping for, but they moved forward and turned it around the next day. Haley Goodall, she was the star. She did it in the circle and at the plate. Really impressed as well by the play of Westland Jones in this series. Just knew how to get on base in the leadoff spot no matter what. And how about the job that Goodall did? She drove in what proved to be the game-winning run and then closed it out on the mound. So they go to a decisive game three, and what an amazing dominant performance they put on to clinch that championship. A 10-0 run rule in the title game. Wow, what a showing to finish this one off. And complete game shutout from Haley Boodle. Amazing stuff. They score five in the first inning and never look back after that. Westland Jones sent it to him again with a double. Three hits in the game for her. Boodle staying phenomenal, driving in two to open the scoring. Becca Martin, Lindley Jones with some clutch hits along the way. Just everybody stepped up in that final game, and they just rose to the occasion. And then Taylor Tomodowski finishing it off with a bases clearing line drive to seal the championship win. What a spectacular season for these ladies, champions of 2A softball. Congratulations to the Warhawks. And then now Colleton County, now they're trying to get their state championship of their own in the South Carolina High School League ranks. And what a way to start it off for Whitley Weathers and this Cougar team. How about an 11 strikeout complete game victory for Weathers? Jordan Slocum with a massive two-run double to really break it open. And then she had a triple to her big day. And Weathers just mowing down the competition all game long in this one. Just winning run through seven innings. So another fantastic performance from Whitley Weathers. And now they get South Florence on Monday. So a big opportunity to really jump into the driver's seat of this District 3 tournament. A tough start for the Sharks over in District 4. They drop a 10-0 game to North Augusta. Caitlin Cochran was stellar for the Yellow Jackets. 14 Ks and just one walk over five full innings. That's just domination in the circle right there. It really seems like it always comes down to strong pitching, you know, in these softball tournaments. You know, if you have someone who catches fire, gets off to a hot start, racking up the strikeouts, it's really difficult to stop. But, you know, it's double elimination. You're still alive. And now you get James Island, who reaches 7-4A rivals. So we haven't played the Trojans since the very first two games of the season back in March. That was a doubleheader sweep, 6-4 and 11-10. And that was, you know, 2 months ago. So we'll kind of see what happens this time and how these two teams have changed since then. But it should be a fantastic playoff elimination game between the Sharks and the Trojans.
Yeah, no doubt. It's been a great season for local softball for sure. But, man, Colleton County, so impressive with both the Warhawks and the Cougars looking so good. And like you said, it all comes down to pitching when it comes to the softball playoffs, because you can roll that same arm out there every game and they're dominant, then they're going to continue to carry you as far as they can. And Whitley Weathers definitely fits the bill. So we'll see how far Colleton County can go. All right, Wes, let's talk a little bit of golf, man. We've got a lot going on. It's a big week for golf in South Carolina, with the PGA Championship up at Kiawah Island in Charleston. We, of course, have the Palmetto Championship at Congaree coming up here in a couple of weeks, and we got some news regarding that. We already knew Dustin Johnson was committed. Now we've got a couple of highly ranked Englishmen in the field with Matthew Fitzpatrick and Tyrrell Hatton committing to the event out at Congaree the week before the U.S. Open. And I couldn't be more excited about this. We got our credential request approved. So yourself and myself and Brian Rietveld, we'll be giving you coverage of the Palmetto Championship that week, coming up second week of June. Really excited to get back out to Congaree after seeing it last week for media day and see what the pros can do on this course, man. It is going to be so much fun to watch them play it.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, that's two names that we've known, especially in the past from following the Heritage, and they've both been knocking on the door of a huge win. So maybe this will be the week in June. Hatton won the 2020 Arnold Palmer. He's won six times already in Europe. So also won the Ryder Cup with Europe. So I think it's just a matter of time until he wins another big one here, this time in North America. I'm looking for more in Congaree. And, you know, he said he's very excited for the challenge. You got to have an open mind and have that capacity to make quick adjustments. Your first time seeing this course, you're flying in blind, not really sure what to expect. So it's going to be the golfer who has the mindset to make those quick adjustments in order to find the result they want. So Matt Fitzpatrick getting a nice finish to his Heritage campaign, finished tied for fourth, and really came on strong at the end of that tournament. So, I mean, he's due for a win, simply. Runner-up, the 2019 Arnold Palmer. He's had four top 10s and 12 starts. So this could very well be the week for the 26-year-old. And, man, this is going to be a fantastic tournament. The field is already looking solid. We got DJ, but we got some two of the top Englishmen coming over. So it's going to be a battle of the best. Once again, the Lowcountry for the second time in 2021. But this time, they'll be at a whole new course at Country Golf Club.
Yeah, and we talked about it a little bit, but just the excitement of seeing the PGA Tour pros tackle a new course for the first time is very cool in itself.
Yeah.
The fact that it's in our backyard is just phenomenal. And Bryson Emmer has been playing exceptionally well. So, you know, hopefully he can make some noise out there on his home turf as well. And the guys who are trying to be the next wave of, you know, loco stars who go on to play at the next level, we're going to get to see them up close and personal the next couple of days, because Hilton Head High and Beaufort High, as well as a couple of individual qualifiers, Andrew Swanson from May River and Jones Saylor from Bluffton, are all in the Class 4A State Championship at Dolphin Head on Hilton Head this week. What are you expecting here, Wes? Because, you know, these two teams, Hilton Head and Beaufort, battled back and forth all season long. Neither one of them came out on top in the lower state tournament. But do you think either one of them can make a charge here with the home course advantage and try to take home a state title?
I really think so. I think the home field advantage is real. I mean, you got to think the Seahawks and Eagles are going to be right there. I mean, the last time we saw this event 2 years ago, Derek Bunce, Hilton Head won the 4A individual title. Seahawks get the upset championship win 2019. That was at Port Royal. So obviously home course advantage certainly means something. It's going to be a fantastic tournament. But what a year for Jerry Bruns and this Beaufort team. Winning medalist honors in the lower state qualifier. Eagles finishing third with 312 behind South Aiken and North Augusta. Thoroughbreds took it in a one-stroke win. Hilton Head fourth and 317. So both go through to the state finals. In Dolphin Head, Bruns 369, he was the individual champion. Andrew Swanson and Garrett Fader tying for fifth with 75. Unfortunately for the Sharks of May River, they come up short out of the top eight. Their season comes to a close. However, Swanson will qualify as an individual with his stellar score, and Joe Saylor will do the same for Bluffton. So congratulations to both of those two. Get to see their seasons keep going. So they will all travel to Dolphin Head on Monday, and it's going to be a fantastic battle. Seahawks and Eagles have been doing all season long. You got EC Flora coming over from the upper state. That's going to be a team to watch. Really impressive 291 at their upper state championship this past week. So it's going to be a heck of a show with Dolphin Head. Really excited to see how this plays out. And to get all the updates, follow our wonderful golf contributor, Brian Rietveld, at the Rietveld on Twitter, at the Rietveld. And we'll certainly have him on our next podcast on Friday to do a recap.
Yeah, we're looking forward to seeing Brian's coverage from out there. Nobody knows high school golf in the Lowcountry better than him. So really excited. And in fact, he's been the head coach of both those teams, or of two of those teams, Hilton Head and May River. So very cool to have him out covering the event for us. And he'll keep us up to date on what's going on. And another one of our high school stars, Max Green, who we had on the show last week, state champion golfer from Hilton Head Christian Academy. He was back in action last week doing some U.S. Open qualifying, local qualifier, and he got an alternate position, the first alternate for the next stage of qualifying, sectional qualifying. So, you know, he's hoping maybe somebody drops out. Not likely to happen. You get one of those U.S. Open qualifying spots. You're playing it through to see if you can make it all the way to the show out at Torrey Pines in San Diego. But a great showing nonetheless for Max, who, you know, still in high school, and he's just a shot away from moving on to sectional qualifying. I mean, I just cannot be more excited to follow this guy's career and see if he can be the next, you know, Bryson Nimmer, or, you know, whoever he may even exceed Bryson Nimmer someday. I mean, that's how good, how talented he is. He's going to be playing at West Virginia next year. Can't say enough about how impressed I was with his just emotional maturity and everything in our interview. I'm really excited to follow him through.
Yeah, that's a fantastic accomplishment for Max Green, who came up just short of getting to final qualifying. He was the first alternate. Mark Anderson, a name we've remembered playing golf around here in the Lowcountry qualifying. So good to see for Mark Anderson. And for Max Green, this is going to give him some great experience, you know, going into bigger college events and of course, those dreaded Monday qualifying for Korn Ferry and PGA Tours. So another fantastic showing for Green, the Hilton Head Christian Academy Eagle, now the West Virginia Mountaineers. So good job over there for Green. And then Bryson Nimmer, a nice performance, 8-under in the Korn Ferry tournament over the weekend, the Visit Knoxville Open. So he finishes T27, 3-under in the final day to finish at an 8-under par. So solid showing for Nimmer, who was in the mix all the way to the last day. So good to see for Bryson as he looks forward to going to Calgary for the championship.
No question. Let's do a quick bit on tennis here, Wes, because Buford High's boys had such a phenomenal season. Their only losses in the regular season came to Hilton Head Prep, which was an undefeated state champ in skis at 3A. And unfortunately, they ran into another undefeated team in the Class 4A state championship match, and they dropped a 4-2 decision to powerhouse AC Flora. So it's a runner-up finish for the Eagles, but all three losses coming to undefeated state champs. Just a phenomenal season for David Riedmeier and his team. And now some of them are going to be back in action today because we've got the state singles tournament going on. And haven't looked yet at the brackets to see what locals we have in there, but Evan Phillips is competing for Hilton Head High, Graham Angus for Beaufort, and I think that's all we've got locally, but a couple great individual players who are now going to go after a state title. So, you know, we talk a lot about golf here in the Lowcountry, but I think tennis is just as big, and we have just as much talent around here when you think about the quality of play from Hilton Head Prep to Beaufort High to Hilton Head High, which this year, you know, was also excellent, but only made it to the first round of the playoffs just because Buford was so good. They knocked him out of that number one spot. So great to see this tennis talent, and hopefully a couple of these guys can make a run at the state singles tournament today and tomorrow.
Yeah, what a remarkable run for the Buford Eagles, a team that's never been to this level of success. So getting all the way to the state championship, that is a massive accomplishment. Really fantastic work by this entire group, and really impressed by the depth of the bottom half of the lineup. You got Bodie Daniels, Griffin Stone, both the Wim Falcons. They got done the other four matches and finished off with a dramatic three-setter at first singles and took second doubles in another great match to seal it. So this one hurts to lose, but getting to this point is so hard to do. So you got to be really proud if you're the Buford High Tennis Eagles. What a job by Buford and Coach Riedmeier. No shame in losing to a state power like Florida. Just an unbelievable, amazing season for this tennis team. And I know the upper state has not had the depth of talent in every year, but AC Flora is a fantastic team. They're a powerhouse, and they're able to pull off a state championship win. But a great season for the Buford Eagles. And as you said, we've got some tremendous tennis talents at the high school ranks, both on the boys and the girls' side. And speaking of tennis, how about another big win for Jessica Pegula at the Italian Open? She upsets number 2 seed Naomi Osaka, one of the best players, if not the best player in the world. That's just a massive victory for Pegula, who has already had a fantastic season of the former Hilton Head product, getting it done in the world stage.
Yeah, absolutely. Good call there. Knocking off Naomi Osaka. Not many people do that these days. So that's very impressive stuff from Jesse Pegula. Fantastic example of some of the talent that has come through Hilton Head Island with the training academies on the island. And certainly we'll keep tabs on her, and hopefully she can continue to impress in her professional career. Well, transitioning now from tennis to track and field, Wes, we had a big weekend with the state qualifier meets happening. In fact, a couple of them right here in the Loco, because Buford High hosted the 4A qualifier and Whale Branch hosted the 1A qualifier. Battery Creek had to go up to Camden for 3A, but we got a whole bunch of athletes going to the state championships for track and field. And it's hard to pick some to single out because we had many multi-event winners from throughout the different qualifiers. But I'm going to start with Myra Smith from Battery Creek. Just an absolutely outstanding performance for her. She qualified in four events, won the 100, placed second in the long jump, fourth in the 200, fourth in the triple jump. So four events for her, absolutely incredible. Battery Creek sending 7 in all to the state championships. Over in Class 4A, man, it was just a litany of great performances, especially from May Rivers boys and Buford High's girls. Our friend Layla Warren, who just announced this week she's committed to Newberry College for track and field. She won the 100 and 400 hurdles, and she was on the relay team that finished 3rd in the 4x4. Had a whole bunch of great performances on the girls' side. Over on the boys' side, I would say the most impressive coming from May River, they had 7 individuals in all 3 relays qualify for state, which is phenomenal. Sean Hamby with gold in the 400 hurdles. He also was on the gold medal winning 4x8 relay and won bronze in the 4x4. And then Farid Abdullah was 2nd place in the 200, 3rd in the 100, and they also qualified in the 4x4. So just a couple of highlights there as far as individuals go. Kamari Simmons also from Bluffton with 3 qualifying marks, winning the 100, placing 3rd in the 200, and placing third in the 4x1 relay. So some great performances all around. Hard to single out individuals when you've got that many who are qualifying, but anybody stand out to you, Wes?
Yeah, a bunch of great names here in this lower state track meet. You know, you mentioned Layla Warren. She's showing out again in her senior year. So impressive what she's been doing. We got the Washington girls that we know from basketball season, Maddie Wing, the shot put, Kaylee excelling in the long jump over in Bluffton. Anna Arroyo, second place for May River. McKenna Swinton with the silver in the shot put. So good stuff there. And then Sean Hamby, as you said, the big win over in the 400. Also part of that victorious relay team. And man, the Sharks, we've seen some tremendous athletes across the sporting landscape. They dominated this lower state meet. Some other guys who showed out in this meet. Alvin Wilson getting done. Football player getting done with a win in the discus. And then speaking of football, how about Jalen Sneed picking up a dub in the shot put with a throw of 49 inches. So, you know, you can put him in any sport. He has the strength. He has the athleticism to take down anyone. You mentioned Kamari Simmons with the gold. Ian Shark qualifying representing Carlton County. Fourth place results in the shot put. And then 3A, you mentioned Myra Smith. She was a big star for Battery Creek. Took the 100, fourth and 200 and the triple jump. Erica Tobin with a couple medals. Kiana Sanders gold in the high jump. And then you got some guys picking up some medals. Michael Martello with discus. David Tobin, Tanner McCracken, Trevin Singleton with some good days for Battery Creek. And then over in 1A, Whale Branch, they send 10 plus three relay teams to the state meet. Kaylin Caldwell wins the triple jump. She gets silver in the 100 and 400. And then Kainu Barnwell, who we know very well from the Whale Branch basketball side, she wins the 800. And then Richard Parker with a nice day on the boys' side, golds in the 110 hurdles, the 400 hurdles, and wins the 4x100. So a good performance in a big-time meet. And Xavier Chaplin also with a double gold outing in the discus and shot put. So great job across the board here from our track and field squads. And we look forward to an awesome weekend. Hope to see some hardware being brought home.
Yeah, no question. I mean, like I said, so many great individual performances. It's hard to single out all of them, but we've got recaps of all three lower state qualifiers on locosports.com. So you can go through and see all the local athletes who qualified and click through to the full results if you want to dig a little bit deeper. So we'll definitely be keeping an eye on those state championships on Friday and Saturday up in Columbia, and hopefully a lot of hardware coming home to the Loco. All right, Wes, well, let's take a quick break and hear from our sponsors. Then we'll come back and we'll talk a little bit of football and hear from Abby Peduzzi before we name our teams and players of the week.
Hey, Loco sports fans. Are you looking for a way to keep the kids entertained, active, and out of your hair this summer? You should check out the summer camp program at Coastal Gymnastics Center in Bluffton. Their brand new facility is second to none, and they have a fun lineup of weekly themes for their four-week camp this summer. For $35 per day or $120 per week, kids ages 5 through 12 can attend daily from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., and they'll get top-notch gymnastics instruction, as well as time for snacks, lunch, crafts, and structured games. Register today at CoastalGymnasticsCenter.com, and go Loco!
Hey Loco sports fans, when you hear Horizon Rehabilitation and Sports Medicine, think advanced, local, and specialized therapy care. The team at Horizon prides themselves on the diversity of their 30-plus specialized treatment programs, including advanced sports medicine and orthopedic care, as they offer the area's only Alter-G treadmill and have an indoor heated resistance therapy pool. For nearly 15 years, Horizon's outpatient, physical, occupational, and sports medicine programs have been addressing the needs of athletes, weekend warriors, and their fans. At any level, at any age or stage, their specialized therapists and athletic trainers are ready to get you back in the game. Visit HorizonRehabilitation.com for more information or call 843-671-REHAB. That's 843-671-REHAB. Horizon Rehabilitation and Sports Medicine, proud sponsors of LocoSports.com.
Hey Loco sports fans, if your resolution for 2021 was to get your fitness in order, you've got to check out the New Year, New You program at the eFit Club in Bluffton. Their fitness and nutrition program, combined with their unique eGym format that provides a personalized workout, will get you back in top form in no time. You've never seen a gym like this. And when you sign up for just $149 a month, you'll get a full membership plus all the New Year, New You benefits. eFit Club in Bluffton. Change your fitness, change your life.
All right, Wes, you know, it is not football season, but it is, unlike this time last year, spring football season. So we've got a lot of football news happening. We've got the teams getting out there working out. We've got camps going on, and we've got college offers coming in right and left. And let's start with Jayon Allen, a name that we know from Battery Creek High School, a guy who was very impressive last year in all facets of the game. Well, he's not a Dolphin anymore. We learned through social media this week that he has transferred to May River. He's going to be a Shark, and he had a great performance. He was the MVP FBU camp last week, and right on the heels of that, the offers started coming in. He got one from Florida International, another from Fordham, and I'm sure there are many more to come. So let's start there, and then we've got a little more news to get to, but your thoughts on Jayon Allen and how that kind of shifts the balance, him moving from Battery Creek to May River.
Yeah, that's an incredible addition for the Sharks. He's an electric speedster. He can thrive on both sides of the ball, really shines on defense, and I'm really happy for him coming through in that showcase and getting some offers, FIU, and now most recently Fordham University. So outstanding job and really well-deserved for Jayon Allen. 6'2", 190, such a really gifted athlete. Did wonders for Terrence Ashe in his first year there. And he's a playmaker who can step right in on that Rodney Summers defense and make some big impact. And on the offensive side as well, trying to follow the footsteps possibly of Bryce Singleton over at FIU. A solid program over there. And if he chooses to go that route, also got an offer from Fordham and more on the way. So interesting to see where he ends up, but excited to see him going against guys like Jalen Linder and some others over there. Of course, you got some great receivers at Bluffton at Buford High as well. He's got some speed to hang with the best wideouts in the area. Really knows how to jump the route and get in position to make those game-changing plays. So should be a tremendous season for Allen. That's a huge, huge pickup for May River. They could use some more veteran help on the defensive side, and I think Allen will step right in and make some big-time plays all season long. His stock is rising by the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was one of the most impressive raw athletes I saw last year. I mean, I only saw Battery Creek a couple of times, but one of those times I think he took a kickoff or punt and an interception to the house. I mean, he is just a phenomenal athlete, really like him on the defensive side of the ball. And I think that's where you'll primarily see him for May River because they've got a loaded backfield already. So, you know, I think we'll see him taking a spot in that secondary. And I think he's going to be a game-changing player for them. Because like I said, just athletically, he is really special. And speaking of that, you may not have heard the name yet, especially if you don't follow BJ Payne on Twitter, but he is already starting to get excited about a 2024 offensive lineman named Braylon Kitty, who he's been kind of telling people this was their best kept secret. This was going to be the next big guy after Jalen Snead. And sure enough, the offers are rolling in. In the past 24 hours, we've seen on Twitter offers from Kentucky, Tennessee, and Southern Miss. So you got two SEC programs in there, albeit not the Blue Bloods, not the Alabama offer or anything like that. But Tennessee, I mean, they don't hand them out too easily either. So pretty phenomenal stuff from him to already have those three on the table when he's not even entered his junior year yet. And I think you're going to see a whole bunch more over the next year or so.
I'm really impressed by BJ Payne, what he has done growing talent over here at Hilton Island High School. And another example, already getting offers from SEC schools. I don't care what school it is from that conference. If you're getting offers at that young of an age, you are doing something right. What a job so far. And I think he's going to compete for some top tier offers, not too long from now. And man, BJ Payne just continuing to do an exceptional job, really showing out the talent over there at Hilton Head High and giving them opportunities to get their name known. And of course, we know what he does with the Tour de Payne. He brings Seahawks over to different colleges during the offseason in order to kind of check things out and look around and see some schools that might fit them in the future. So I really like what BJ Payne does, not just coaching them up at Hilton Head High, but preparing them for life after high school, whether it's playing football, whether it's studying their choice, their academic field after they finish up. So BJ Payne, one of the best coaches, more proof here, and really excited for the All-American football camp that's coming up later this month.
No doubt about it. And other Seahawks also getting an offer this morning with Ryan Clark, and another offensive lineman picking up an offer from the University of Richmond. So good stuff to see over there. Nobody better than BJ Payne at, you know, promoting his players and getting them recruited at the highest level they can possibly compete. I mean, he's sent a ton of guys to play at Division I schools all over the place, going back to Michael Julian and Jerome Maddox and
this right.
group of guys that went to Marshall. He's been doing it for years. He knows what he's doing. And he has a way of being honest and transparent with college coaches that they understand when he says this guy can help you, they know it means he can help them and they go get him. So good stuff there. And one of his products is on the move once again. Gaston Moore, the quarterback for the Seahawks a couple of years ago, he went to UCF as a walk-on. He has now entered the transfer portal. So Gaston Moore looking for a place that he can get on the field and show what he can do with his arm and certainly I think he's going to help some program somewhere. It may not be at the Power Five or even the D1 level, but I think he has reached the point where he decided that, you know, rather than being a development guy at UCF and maybe running scout team and things like that, he wants to go somewhere he can play football. And so he's going to get that opportunity somewhere, I am certain, and he's going to be an impact for somebody somewhere down the road.
Yeah, I like the decision from Moore. You know, sometimes it just doesn't work out in your first stop and you find a golden opportunity elsewhere, and was so impressed with Moore throughout that senior season at Hilton High. Really tremendous decision maker, threw the ball well, rarely threw interceptions. And, you know, it's important to find a location, especially as a quarterback, where you can compete for a starting job. I really understand this decision. I mean, he was hoping that to get a shot over at UCF. It's really difficult at a top-tier program to get that look. And I think he made the right choice and looking for a program where he'll be able to really compete to get an opportunity to make a difference at quarterback. And I really think that first year of mentorship, learning from those great coaches, veteran players of a strong program like UCF, who's had some amazing success in the last couple of years, I think that bodes well for him going into a different program and looking to take over the role as a starting quarterback. So, I mean, he's really dedicated. I think he has the mindset and the skills to perform as a college starter, whoever it takes him next. And I believe he'll do some great work in the years to come. So best of luck to Gaston Moore.
No question. We love seeing those local guys go on and play and keeping tabs on them. And we'll be eager to see where his name ends up and where he is competing for a starting job possibly next year. Still got 5 years of eligibility thanks to the strange eligibility right. rules yep. that we have yep. in the COVID time. So we'll see how that works out for him. Well, from a Seahawk to an HHCA Eagle, Wes, we were able to catch up with Abby Peduzzi this weekend. If you know Loco Sports, you know the Peduzzi name, of course, because her father, Ron Peduzzi, has been a longtime football coach in this area. Now the head coach at Hilton Head Christian Academy, where they just won a state championship last fall. Her older brother, JP Peduzzi, was on that state championship team, of course. And Abby has made quite the name of her own. She's now a four-time state champ, three of them in basketball, one in soccer, and she'd still like to get one in volleyball. And it was great to sit down with Abby and talk with her a little bit and get to know her a little bit better. But I was very impressed once again with her, only a sophomore, her poise, really impressive. And she's got her head on straight. She knows what she wants and she works hard to get it. Just interested in your takeaway from our interview.
Yeah, I'm so proud of Abby. What a career she has already had at Hilton Head Christian. Volleyball, basketball, soccer, she's just a remarkable athlete. She gives it her all every practice, every game, and just the epitome of dedication. And you know, it's shown. 3 p.m. on the basketball court and another title on the soccer field. She's worked so hard, and she's made such a big difference at each one of the sports that she has played. And I think she's taken a lot away from her family, both her father, Ron Peduzzi, and her brother, JP. She's really shown the will to win, no matter what the challenge is, and always knows how to go above and beyond for her team. So what a fantastic interview this was. Went off a spectacular soccer season, only just a sophomore, as you said, still two more years to go. Can't wait to see more of Abby Peduzzi and her amazing efforts on the court and the field over Hilton and Christian Academy.
All right, well, let's hear a bit from our interview with Abby Peduzzi. You can hear the full interview on the Loco Sit Down, but here is an excerpt right here on the Loco Sports Lowdown Podcast. Hey, Loco Sports fans, welcome to another Loco Sit Down. Today we are joined by Abby Peduzzi, who's got a handful of championship rings from Hilton Head Christian Academy, been racking them up on the basketball court for years, and now you've got one from soccer to go with it. So we just wanted to get you on and talk a little bit about this soccer season, but just also about the culture of girls sports that you guys have created at Hilton Head Christian and the success you've had in these recent years. How much fun are you having right now being an Eagle? It has to be an absolute blast.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun. And definitely winning these state championships just makes it so much better, you know.
Absolutely. We just came off a spectacular soccer season. Just an amazing run you guys had. You had a rough start, but you guys are just making a transition from, you know, from winter to spring sports. And, you know, after that first game, you guys really figured it out and ran the table, ran the postseason gauntlet all the way to a state championship. So, what did you guys learn from that opening defeat, and what kind of clicked for you guys down the stretch, and how you all fought into to get that state championship?
Yeah, when we first lost to Pinewood, I think that was our first game after, I think it was on a Tuesday, like, so we had one practice after and we lost 10-0, and Rosa, you know, our head coach just kept telling us, like, keep your heads up, this isn't how our season's gonna go. They're obviously a really good opponent, and that we just had to, like, keep working on our skills and work together as a team, and that, you know, we could do it if we just kept working.
Really just a dominant performance from you guys in the state championship over Myrtle Beach Christian. 3-0, just a very impressive way to end the season, wrap up the championship. Tell me about the approach going into that last game and how proud you were of how you guys played and finished off an amazing spring with the state championship.
I was super proud of my teammates because, you know, we knew going in that the game before I had scored 3 goals. So they were probably going to double team me or, you know, put a lot of focus on stopping my goals. So I was told that I was like, guys, like, if you get an open shot, take it, because I probably won't be getting many shots. And they did that and they really stepped up, you know, Devin and Bless and Addy. And I was really happy for them. So
tell me just a little bit about, you know, you've got several girls who are on both the basketball and the soccer teams and have just kind of become accustomed to winning, I mean, and to winning state championships. How much of that success and confidence and knowing how to win carries over from the basketball court to the soccer program?
Yeah, when we first, on the first couple of days, you know, of soccer, we kept like, we'd relate it back to basketball. Whenever we'd have like team meetings, we'd be like in basketball and we'd share something we'd do, or like we would do this in basketball. And I think they probably got tired of hearing us keep talking about in basketball, but you know, it's true because we've won 3 state championships, you know, we're doing something right there. And so I just think what we've learned in basketball and things we've shared and helped them. And, you know, now we all have a state championship in soccer. So we have a pretty good, like.
For you, you know, as you start to think about your high school career winding down, you're on the latter half of it now, and you start to think about the next level. I'm sure that's something that's on your radar. What are you thinking? Are you expecting to focus on one sport or the other, or do you feel like you want to just kind of let it play out and see what happens?
For sure, I definitely want to play at the next level. Right now, I'd say it's probably between volleyball and soccer. I mean, more on the volleyball side. I haven't said no to any of them, obviously. You know, I'll keep my options open. I'm just looking to see, you know, I obviously have to make a decision here soon, but any of them I would be grateful to play, but I think volleyball might be.
Once again, Wes, we pick a student athlete's name out of the hat of all the great performers in the area, and we hit the jackpot with another great interview. Abby Peduzzi, breaking a little bit of news in there. I was a little surprised at which sport she was most interested in playing in college. I don't know about you.
Yeah, I think Abby, you know, she's such an inspiration out there on the courts, on the field. Made some big plays down the stretch in the basketball playoffs. You know, when her number's called, she answered it, and whether it was like a big drive to the rim or making a pair of clutch free throws, whatever's needed. You know, if Kenny Conroy, if he was looking for a big defensive stop or a big bucket, she got it done. And what really impressed me was her playing the post down the stretch. She could really do it all, and she just really shined the soccer playoff. So what a scorer she's been, and her presence in that title game, that leadership really propelled her team to that state title. So I'm really impressed by Abby, whether it's volleyball, basketball, or soccer. She has impressed in all three, and I look forward to a lot more hard work coming her way.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that comes to mind with her for me is just she's just the ultimate competitor. I mean, she's just going to give you everything she's got, go all out every play of every game, no matter what sport she's playing. And like she said, even when it comes down to board games, I mean, the competition is stiff in that family. Nobody wants to lose. So, you know, I think they've instilled that in throughout their family. And certainly it comes out when you see those kids playing sports. They are just hard-nosed competitors who give you everything they got. So very impressive stuff from Abby. Look forward to following her for the next couple of years and seeing where she ends up at the next level. Well, one thing left to do before we wrap this thing up, Wes, and that's to name our teams and players of the week. And as always, you get the first crack. So who are you honoring this week?
So for my team of the week, I'm going to go with May River Baseball. They are as high as can be right now, 11 wins in a row. They just took down the number 3 seed South Florence in 4A in really impressive fashion. It really was a total team effort. Darren Horn with a strong 7 innings start. Walker Taylor stepping up at the plate. Bennett Romer keeping the game alive after the Bruins tied it. And then how about that game-winning defensive play? Can't ask for more dramatic finish. A Hollywood-like script. Danny Farrell, James Lehman relay to the plate to tag out the tying run and seal the victory. What a job by this team. You know, everybody was dialed in and they accomplished the task at hand. So I can't wait for this all local game here on Monday. You know, that's going to be an amazing battle all the way through. For my boys' athlete of the week, this is a tough choice because there are so many, especially in track and field, that stood out. I'm going to go with the Whale Branch Warrior, Richard Parker. 3 golds in the lower state meet, won the 110-meter hurdles, the 400 hurdles, and the 4x100-meter relay. That's a big performance and the biggest event yet of the season. So, you know, you work through the winter and the spring for a moment like this, and when you get the job done, it's just an amazing feeling. So congratulations to the Parker. Best of luck in the state meet. And then for my girls' player of the week, it's none other than Haley Boodle. What an amazing performance in the state finals. Bouncing back from that tough game one loss. Then she comes in a day later, gets a complete game win, did it all to will her team to that decisive game 3, and then spins a complete game shutout gem to notch a state championship win. Unbelievable run for Boodle and this team. That's a week she will remember for a long time. So congratulations to Haley Boodle. Congratulations to Richard Parker and the Mayor of the Sharks on an outstanding week.
Excellent choices as always, Wes, and you left plenty on the table for me. I will, you know, I mean, we've got a state championship team, so I'll go with my team of the week. I'll take the rest of those Warhawks from Colleton Prep because Haley Boodle did a fantastic job. That was really a team effort, especially when you run rule somebody. Everybody's doing their job, especially a team of that caliber. Up at Lawrence Manning on Thursday, they blanked PD Academy, just totally dominant in game 3 of that series. So I'm going to give it to the whole team over there. You know, Wesleyan Jones had just a phenomenal series, a phenomenal season. Taylor Tomodolsky coming up with some big hits, especially the one that clinched it. Lindley Jones also playing well. I mean, gosh, the names that you could rattle off, they never end. Becca Martin had a great week. Mackenzie Pelham, it took a full team effort to get to that point and win a state championship. So while Boodle was certainly deserving your player of the week honor, I'm going to give an award to the rest of the Warhawks as well. And then on the individual front, on the boys' side, I am going to go with Wes Graves from Buford High Baseball. Just an outstanding performance from Wes on the mound, giving the Eagles the big win and getting them into that matchup with May River with a chance to get into the district championship game. Again, you know, I mean, you could argue whether Graves or Holmes has been their best guy all year, but Graves was clearly the right guy on Saturday, went 6 innings, outstanding performance on the mound, keeping his team in the game against a really quality team, gave up 1 run, 5 hits, just a great performance, eating up the innings, getting them through that game so they keep a fresh arm in Oliver Holmes ready to go for Monday night. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And my girls' player of the week, they have been eliminated from the playoffs, but I am going to give it to Reagan Marchand from Hilton Head High. She hit 2 more bombs in her final game of the season. She ends the season batting .614, on base percentage .742, slugging 1.455 for an OPS of 2197. She had 9 home runs, 6 doubles, 2 triples, and 20 RBIs in 66 plate appearances, which is just absolutely ridiculous. USC is getting a good one, man.
Yeah, those numbers are just otherworldly. I mean, just unbelievable. Reagan Marchand is an absolute beast. Cannot wait to see what she does after another year in Hilton Head. She'll be going over to SEC softball for South Carolina, so we'll be following her all the way over to Columbia. Just an unbelievable season for Marchand. Wes Graves, the clutch performance, went 6 strong innings, 104 pitches, laid it all out there. Unbelievable job to help will his team to a huge playoff opening win. And then now they will get their shots at May River. So excited once again for that one. What a season for Colleton Prep softball. I mean, Boodle was the absolute superstar, but couldn't have done it without Wesleyan Jones, Taylor Tomodolsky, Lindley Jones, Becca Martin. It is a total team effort. As we said with baseball, you can't win without solid hitting. You can be Jacob DeGrom out there on the mound, but if you don't get the run support, you can't get it done. You have to have solid pitching and solid hitting to win a championship. Pitching is obviously incredibly important in softball, but you got to have the offense. And it was a total team performance to take home an incredible state championship for Colleton County softball. Congratulations. Colleton Prep softball, congratulations to the Warhawks.
No question. And a lot of great names left on the table this week, but you know, some of them still competing. So we'll have a chance to pick them up next week as they continue their postseason. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Loco Sports Lowdown. Hope you enjoyed it. If you did, please subscribe wherever you get your podcast. You'll get a notification every time a new episode drops. And if you listen on Apple, rate and review us so other people can find us. Maybe share it on social media and let people know that we're talking local sports here in the South Carolina Lowcountry. Thanks for being a part of it. And until next time, go Loco.